You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey everybody, this is Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm.
Hey, what's up? This is Chadis from Hell Yeah and Mudvayne.
This is Ron Bumblefoot Fall.
Hey, this is Barbara Wild.
And this is Daniela Clark.
This is Johnny from Art of Dying.
Hey, this is Mixie from Stitched Up Heart.
Hey, this is Nick Reese from Joyous Bowl.
Hey, this is Josh from Bad Flower. Welcome aboard. The ship making way is fuck!
Hey, this is Ralph Sutton.
This is Aaron Jones.
What's going on, gang? Zach Wild here. And you're listening to Making Waves, the Shipwrecked Podcast.
Making Waves.
Welcome to Making Waves. This is episode 60. We've made it through 60 of these beautiful, wonderful conversations with some of our favorite artists. So welcome, everyone. Well, say hi to Chad. Say hey, Chad.
Hi. I'm Chad.
All right. There we go.
Hi,
Chad's
Chad.
Co-host here. There we go. Yeah. Listen, guys, welcome to Make Waves. Obviously, we're the Ship Rock Podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media family, and one of the fastest growing rock podcasts in the world.
It's true.
The community is larger and more involved than ever. So thank you very much. So to make sure, go ahead and share. Share our stuff, but also rate, review, and subscribe to it. Without further ado, if you guys don't know who this gentleman is, he is the frontman and vocalist for a Blacktop Mojo. So please, everyone, welcome Matt James. Matt, thanks, buddy.
That was my round.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, that was a delay. Oh, last nice. Time we had Matt on a Making Waves, it actually wasn't a Making Waves, it was more of a Shipwrecked event, and that was the Hot Sauce Challenge, which basically I shit the bed on. Literally shit the bed on, and Matt was fucking completely unaffected. But I think that is going to be the first topic we talk about is basically Matt comes from a certain part of Texas, which is a little bit more remote than, Houston or Dallas or El Paso. So let's talk about that. Matt, buddy, we'll get to all what's going on in your life, but we got to know, what was it like as a teenager driving around Palestine, Texas, and figuring out I'm going to be a rock and roll vocals for my life? Just give me my job, man.
I don't know if I figured it out that early in life, but it was definitely, I moved back here after college and,
where'd you go to school?
Started up. I went to school in, Northwestern State University in Natchitoches, Louisiana, and, played football over there for a couple of years and then graduated and got the hell out after I got too many concussions, which is probably what's wrong with me now. So
that's when you figured out you wanted to be a rock star. Yeah,
that's when I figured out I wanted to be a rock star.
Give that man a microphone and a stage stat.
Yeah. So I got hit in the head a bunch of times and decided I wanted to start a band.
Right.
Yeah. So we originally started playing kind of what they call Texas country or like Americana type of stuff because that was the only places that we could get gigs around here. Excuse me. I'm sorry, man. The only places we could get gigs around here were like dance halls and honky tonk type of places. Places where you play country music for 4 hours on end in the corner of the bars. And, every now and then we'd start sliding like little original tunes or, you know, like people like classic rock covers or whatever, you know what I mean? When you're doing that kind of thing. So
this kind of biker establishments you're playing at.
Yeah, biker, cowboy, kind of. It just depended on the night, you know, just playing for tips. And we did that for a little while, and then we decided, like, as we started writing original music, it was more like more grunge, like heavy type of kind of hard rock and roll. So we decided we were going to be a rock band from that point on, kind of. After we cut our first record, and we started traveling out to Dallas and Houston and stuff. And, like Chad said, before we got on here, it's kind of the perfect place to grow up in or be at in Palestine. 'Cause you're 2 hours from Dallas, you're 2 hours from Houston, you're 3 hours from Austin. You're like, I mean, you're right in the middle of everywhere that you need to go play and try to get out there. So
it's funny when we think about bands, when they're first starting out and they're getting in the van for the first time and you're no longer playing the local circuit. And it is a big deal, regardless of what it sounds like, to drive 2 hours to go to Dallas. You guys are playing Dallas. Holy shit. That place is massive. I'm sure Chad went through right. Wilson, you know, being from, I'm sure the outskirts of Detroit and then going to Detroit or Lansing or something.
Yeah, I grew up an hour away from the metropolitan areas.
Yeah,
and then, like once you cross a certain line, you were like, whoa, you know, like that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
you're getting written up in the local papers, these conquering heroes. So that must be exciting. So, but I always love the idea that there's a certain, dare I say the word, purity to be growing up in that kind of environment where you're not like, you're just creating your own sound. You're not influenced by a lot around you. You're influenced by what your record collection is or whatever. And you're not following any trends because there are no trends about where you live, right? So you're setting
for sure, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just bored and trying to play music with your buddies. That's pretty much how it starts.
Yeah. Well, speaking of music with buddies, you guys just dropped album number 4, self-titled record. You know, for a lot of people may have just heard of you and go, they have 4 records out. And it's quite honestly, when you were dropping, I knew you guys had some stuff out. I was like, this is the 4th record. I was like, that's deep in you. You're like in the midpoint. Well, I hope you make 20,000 fucking records, but I would say you're at the midpoint of your career when you're dropping number 4.
Jeez, yeah.
And after the 3rd one and the 4th minute, how quickly did they come up, they come together for you guys? What's your process?
I think, well, it was a lot easier this time around. I feel like because we were not having to tour or do anything. Like we just kind of were sitting at the house and we're like, okay, well, what else is there to do? Let's get together, 3 or 4 times a week and let's just write music. And, so we started last July of 2020, basically getting together and just kind of course you you're writing all the time and, you might have an idea that you hold on to for a little while and then you just start kind of compiling all those ideas. That's kind of what we do. It's just like, hey, I got this idea. And then, somebody else in the room might be like, oh, that's cool. We could do this. And kind of you jam it out and you flush all of them out and you see where they go. And, I think we cut the first demos for it in December and then kind of laid it all out and had all the songs pretty much ready to track by the time we went to Nashville in January. So, that one took about 6 months, but and then you got to do everything else after that, like, all the release stuff and getting it out of there.
Sure.
But, I have so many questions, and I'll wait till Justin.
Have at it, brother. Have at it. We got questions for plenty coming his way, so please.
there's like a few things you touched on, and since we're on the record, I'll stay here, and then if you don't mind, I'd like to move back to where you're from in the band.
Yeah.
So first of all, this record, you put out an LP, so full length in 2019, and I can't remember the actual date. What was the date that came out? Like the month, I should say.
September 13th. August 13th. My bad.
Yeah.
Still, you had a solid 4 months, 5 months maybe on that record, which most of it wasn't really touring anyways, because after the fall, things come down and you're just like focusing on holiday shows or maybe at the most doing a couple of regional things. And then the pandemic hits. And instead of you have this record that just kind of came out and by all means, it's not... It's not even 2012 version of like a record release cycle where there's like 2 years or something before the next one comes out, but still at this point in time, you only got 4 months, 5 months, and then you can't do anything about it. And then instead of like being like, well, we'll just wait until the world comes back and then we'll play our record as intended. You were like, well, let's get into the room and jam together. And then that's hearing you say that sparked something that only a place like it's Palestine, not Stein, right? Palestine.
Yeah.
Okay. Palestine. Coming from, as you mentioned, Justin, coming from the small town mentality, here's my biggest question. Are you saying that you motherfuckers are like all around each other and going into like a jam space during this period of time and actually like hashing it out in front of each other? Or are you doing what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we actually, yeah. Well, we had
so wild to me, most people don't do this anymore.
So we at the, and we at the time we lived with each other. So we all lived in a house together. And so, and then our guitar player lived 2 minutes down the road. So like, it's basically like we all lived in the same house,
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all moved in there in like 2016. So we've been doing this for a while.
So you always around
each other. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were like, oh, well, nobody can be around each other. We're like, well, we're we're in the perfect situation. So.
We live here.
So yeah.
See, I mentioned this woodshedding is kind of this lost art, you know? Mm-hmm. It used to be all you did is you go to, if you're an English band, you go to Rockford Farm and you just hash it out for 6 to 12 months, create a couple of masterpieces, and there you go. But you're in the room every day going, nope, that's not right. That's not right. Oh, what is that lick you played over tea, a cup of tea, you know, whatever. So that is exciting, man. And that's obviously that's where the unity comes from and the build and to be able to hang with each other.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you moved in with each other with 2016. So how long have you been friends before the band started?
The drummer and I really had just met right before we started the band and started hanging out in 2012. And then we've had like a couple of member changes and stuff over the years, but just basically since 2012, that's
when we've all known each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the new record is obviously an evolution of what you guys have been doing. And what I love about you guys is you guys like Dirty Honey and like Rival Sons. Just kind of bringing back this like meat and potatoes kind of rock that's easily accessible to people as far as your ears. It's like, you know, it's like when Soundgarden and all those bands dropped at the time. It's like this stuff's kind of been missing, you know, and to bring that back, that you guys aren't afraid to throw a few ballads in there and soften it down a little bit because you realize your audience is male and female and we all need that. And what great rock record doesn't have some sort of ballad, right? So,
absolutely, man. You got to have
saying
the
that. Is there ever this desire for bands doing what you do to go, man, I feel like the sound is kind of like, you know, we should nuance this up a little bit. We should add something and make it more modern. Are you guys good with just basically just crunchy rock and roll? Is that your thing? Or do you stay in that lane?
Yeah, I think so. I think even when we try to like modernize something or do something like that, it ends up sounding more in the classic rock vein just because that's kind of where we come from. That's kind of where we're influenced by. And it just kind of stays in that lane on its own. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Your guys' guitars are tuned to 1976.
Right.
I get that. Listen, dude, there's a reason why that music lasts and the classic rock stations flourish is because it's peanut butter and jelly for a lot of people. And it's accessible, you know. Sometimes, you know, there's something to be said sometimes about not having to struggle with music sometimes. I mean, I like progressive rock, but sometimes I'm like, what in the hell? At the end of the day, it has to retain some melody. So
For sure.
Nothing better than a good 4/4 and big riffs, man. You're always going to capture people with that.
That harkens back to what you were saying about how you cut your teeth, right? I would assume you're playing these honky tonk rooms. And believe me, as a dude, I've lived in Texas. I've been to the Burleson honky tonks. I did my line dancing on it. I was like, wait, what the fuck is going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, I know what you're talking about. I see the house band. I see exactly the type of room you're in.
Yeah.
And you're playing the hits. And I don't even know what those hits are at this point in time. You know, like I left Texas when it was 2006 and I'm assuming not much has changed, but like as a new band, what are the hits in a honky tonk room as a band?
I don't know, man. It's you got to hit on, you know, you got the guy, you always got the guy that comes up to you in the cowboy hat. That's like, do you know any George Strait? Do you know any, you know, do you guys know any Waylon Jennings or whatever? It always varied from like classic country tunes to like 90s pop rock, Matchbox 20 or like, or just songs that, you know, radio songs. Sweet Child of Mine or something like that. You know,
absolutely.
What I mean?
There's a country tinge to it. It's funny you mentioned that, like, you know, when Chad asked this, you know, people come up and they want the standards, but you guys were, if you started doing it then, you were kind of the tail end of that Red Dirt thing that happened, right? No one's coming up and asking for Cross Canadian Ragweed, right?
well, at the time they definitely were, man. That was a Oh yeah, we used to play 17 and Fighting Four, and you know, some Stoney LaRue songs, or I can't even remember. It's been a while, man. But yeah,
hey, you know what? That's funny. A lot has to be said for that genre. Like, who wouldn't want Randy Rogers' career?
Oh, absolutely, dude. He's still killing it, man. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah,
he's in the management game now. He's managing some of the younger guys that are doing it now. So I mean, it's awesome.
Chad's in a management game. He understands that. I think it's I think it's very wise to have musicians move into that role because they understand it. They understand the little subtleties that, you know, office guys don't.
They can fix it, hopefully, you know, like what's wrong with it. You know, those subtleties are usually there's flaws in them. And usually it's because somebody doesn't know. And then they just give it, let the other person take it on. I don't know if you have a manager or not, but the idea of it is like, oh, no, our manager will figure it out. Well, they're not going to figure it out for you the way that you need to figure it out for yourself. So, you know, understanding those loops. How do you guys have a manager? Because you release your records, right?
He's a phenomenal manager. But yeah, there is something to be said about, I'm sure you do great for your bands because you know exactly what it's like to be in a van or
to eat ramen noodles without water.
Right. Or just to be at a venue where shit's not going right. Or, you know, I mean, like, yeah, you know what it's like to try to get paid at the end of the night and, you know, have to threaten somebody or what, you know.
I hate to turn this back to this honky tonk room. I just have one last question now that you mentioned the threatened thing, and then I'm moving back because I've been in the room and you were mentioning, like, you know, sometimes they'll ask for this or that. And I just thought, because I know my friends that took me to these places. I'm like, these are fucking assholes. These are fucking people who will, like, start shit with you just because you don't know how to play that song. So I would assume that somebody comes up to you and asks for, you have to be armed and ready to go. And your voice is so, like, big and boisterous and actually beautiful, dude. Like, I can't imagine, like, I can't not imagine how some of those, like, learning moments, like, I don't know the fucking words. My Wi-Fi's working. I got the lyrics.
Yeah, I got the lyrics right here.
Or else I'm going to get my ass kicked by old Jane and Jennings over there, or whatever the fuck it is. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So when you put all of those things together and then you merge it with this idea of you have to know what's up, right? And then you're in the middle of Texas and you're going to be a band. Now you're making your own music. You're putting out your own records. And then you get in the band and you go to that venue in Dallas or, you know, Austin. What does that moment feel like for you guys? And I'm talking about, can you bring us back to the catalyst of you deciding to do it for real and going on tour from your town?
Man, I don't know. I think one of the moments that sticks out in my mind was we were playing in, like, Deep Ellum in Dallas. I don't know if you're familiar. So there was the old room. There's a place that's not there anymore called the Boiler Room that we used to play quite a bit. Right down the street from, like, the Curtain Club and all that kind of stuff. And
which is gone now, too.
Which is also gone now. Yeah. But they unfortunately, that place was cool. But they used to leave the doors open, and, like, the door guy, you know, if you're a band in, like, in the big city or in Dallas or whatever, they would put you on a bill with, you don't really control who's on the bill with you. So you could play in front of, you know, a screamo band and then, like, a funk band and then, like, maybe a rapper or something. And then you're playing at the end of the night. And the way you get paid out at the end of the night is they take a tally of people at the door that say they're there to see you. So basically, if 10 people said that they were there to see you, then you get paid for a little bit of money, like 50 cents or a dollar or whatever, for those 10 people that were there to come see you. And so there was a door guy at the Boiler Room that used to, they would leave the doors open during this traffic lane off the street. Well, like, the door guy liked us and he wanted us to come back. So every person that came in, whether they said they were there to see us or not, well, if they came in during our set, he marked it down and he marked down a tally for us. So, like, we brought those, he was like, yeah, they came in off the street when you guys were playing, you guys brought them in, here you go. And so they used to take care of us. And, like, then one night we brought in quite a few people off the street. And I remember, this is awesome. Like, I remember that feeling of, like, this room's, like, half full now, dude. This is a good feeling. And then, I don't know, you just kind of get that feeling. You're like, you don't want to lose that feeling. You want to do that all the time and just play to people every night. So you just take the leap. We decided in 2016, everybody quit their jobs and we moved into a house. And we're like, we're going to take the leap and we're going to do this full time and just see what happens.
I'll tell you, you just tell everyone the number one lesson of playing those kind of shows is befriend the doorman.
Yes.
And also what you're just telling us as far as like how you were getting paid, if that guy wasn't friends with you, that's the promoter shell game, man. You know, he's selling everyone low numbers and he's taking it on the side. It's just, it's a terrible, terrible fucking business.
Especially when you're in those rooms, dude. Those rooms can be brutal, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you never know, like, not to be rude or anything, but like somebody might play before you that just runs everybody out of the room or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're there and you have no tallies next to your name because there's nobody there watching you basically. Yeah. So it's a rough game, dude. It's called in-outs.
When I was a buyer doing all the shows up here in Michigan, I would be, you know, we would do something where we didn't have foot traffic. It would be like a hard ticket thing for like local new bands. And you would like, here's a bunch of tickets. You keep X amount of dollars from the ones you sell, you know, and then, you know, anything after that, you keep all of it. You know, all we needed to do is make the net. And then these kids would go sell like a room holds 200 people, sell 100 tickets. So there's only 100 more that are available for anybody else to sell of the other four bands. And then as soon as they play, they were like, we want to be in the middle. I'm like, shit, I got to put these kids in the middle. They sold all the tickets. And then as soon as they would play, there's two other bands and everybody was gone because it was like a Sunday night or whatever it is. And that's how you cut your teeth, especially when you're in the middle of Texas and you're trying to get your name out. You have to take so many blue ball hits, you know, just to get out of that honky tonk cover situation. You're like, we want to do this. Yeah. We have to eat shit. And there's no harder shit that I can think of in all of my years of touring than eating Texas's shit. When like if things go bad, the next town is real fucking far away. And if you make no money at that door, you're just like doing whatever you can to get into the next show. You know, so
it's important for young bands to find out who the radio programmers are and that do the local show and befriend them and gift them as much as you can, because that's really just get on the radio and not have to worry about, you know, as Chad says, going out and doing ticket sales to strangers.
Yeah.
Please buy these tickets, you know? So speaking of shows and ticket sales, you guys are getting ready to head out again. You guys have been grinding since basically bands were able to get back on the road. You left and you haven't, this is the first time you've been home, I'm sure, in a while. I know you guys ran into a few days you had to let go because it's just obviously what's going on in the world, but you guys are back out and you got a lengthy one coming up, dude. How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling good, man. The first 6 weeks went really well, barring, you know, a couple of issues with the bus, but you know, you can't help that kind of stuff. So, but the crowds have been really good. Everybody's seems to be, you know, raring to go and like just glad to be back out of the house and back in a room with a live band, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. We see these festival things, festival reports, videos, and everyone, when you have 40,000 people together, there's an energy, right? Well, what's it like you guys are playing your club shows? And what's the feeling in the room? Are people, as you mentioned, just excited to be out? Like, I'm just glad to see a band. Just happens to be a band I like. I mean, or do you... Right. Is there a little trepidation when people go, I don't know, I'm going to go and try this, or people are just like, fuck it, I'm here, I'm living my life?
I think most of the people that showed up on this last run were definitely like, you know, fuck it, I'm ready to go. Like,
yeah,
I'm in this. But I saw some trepidation on like social media posts and stuff. But, you know, if you feel safe coming out, then come out. And if you don't, then you do your thing.
Absolutely. I mean,
Everybody's got to do what's best for them, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I'm going to do a quick commercial break here, guys, and then we'll get right back to it. Hey, folks, at this time, we'd like to remind you that not only are you listening to a kick-ass podcast right now, but we also produce an amazing rock-themed cruise vacation called Shiprocked. We'll be sailing to Costa Maya and Cozumel on the 12th voyage of Shiprocked in January of 2022. Sail away into metal oblivion with Lamb of God, I Prevail, From Ashes to New, Steel Panther, and our guest tonight, Blacktop Mojo. Well, this is Matt, but he represents the band tonight. Anyway, guys, if you haven't got a cabin, there are some still remaining. So please go to shiprock.com and find a cabin or find a cabin mate and get aboard, man. See what the hell we're all about. Back to the show.
You have a record that just came out. It's your fourth studio album and you are self-releasing it. And it looks like you've self-released all three of them prior to this. First of all, bravo. That is incredibly cool. If you tune in and listen to the rest of this, if we're live now, I don't know. Oh, we go live yet in a second. But before we go live, and we'll move into this as we go live, what did you do any fishing before you decided to go, fuck it, let's put it out ourselves? And if so, how did that go for you?
We did a little bit of shopping around and had a couple of offers that just basically didn't line up timing wise. We actually raised a lot of money last year through like a Pledge Music style. Pledge Music's obviously not around anymore, but we did a Pledge Music style like funding campaign through our own website and stuff. So we've been raising money for this since before, like right when we started writing it basically. And so we felt like we owed it to those people to get it out, you know, in a kind of timely fashion. And we didn't really have the luxury of waiting until this particular label wanted to put it out. So they liked the record and they wanted, you know, they basically were like, hey guys, you know, come hit us up next record, you know? So,
it was a
positive experience. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
So then let me ask you, if you had already done it your way for three records and now you have some interest, right? Cause that's the name of the game. Labels come calling when, you know, come knocking when somebody else is paying attention, nowadays. Sure. When you decided to say, I would assume at some point, even just go back to record three before this self title one that came out, did you also go through the courting process and decide that it wasn't your, it wasn't what you wanted to do with Under the Sun? Or was that just like, this is what we were going to do from the beginning, release ourselves?
On Under the Sun, we shopped it around a little bit and I don't think we got as much interest or buzz kind of generated with that one. We got a few offers, but they weren't something we were comfortable with like moving forward
sure.
with at the time. So we just were like, hey man, we're just keep doing this and maybe next time around, you know, the offers will be better and the numbers will be make more sense. And you know, it's a business decision at the end of the day when you're doing that. And
right.
You know, everybody wants to be signed. When you start a rock band, it's kind of like, oh, thank you. Thank you. Let there be light.
I was sexy over there.
Yeah. But when you start a band, you're like, man, you got all these visions in your head of like, oh man, I want to get signed and play in arenas and be like the biggest thing on the planet. I mean, I think all of us goes through that. So the first time when a record label comes calling and it's not what you had hoped, you know, it's kind of hard to say, I think we're going to go our own way, but,
well, listen,
it's a leap of faith for doing it. You know what I'm saying? No, you know,
it's a leap of faith to start a band and decide I'm going to make this my career. Right. Cause
yeah.
you could shit the bed immediately. But at this point you're like, hey, we've already jumped the chasm of what a risk is. We can go ahead and do this because with delivery systems like Spotify and everything like now on platforms,
yeah.
selling your own stuff, the money's there. You just have to go get it. And the label's not always going to provide that. They just give you obviously the glamour of being a part of a label, which is about as glamorous as getting your teeth knocked out with a hammer.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Quite honestly. At the end of the day. But anyway, hey, real quick guys, welcome everyone on Facebook Live. Sorry, we were kind of in the middle of a conversation. Welcome everyone. Say hi to Matt from Blacktop Mojo. And if you guys have got some questions for Matt, please post them in the thread. We'll get to those. And we're going to continue our conversation and make sure when this drops on Monday, go back and listen to the whole thing because it's been really interesting about growing up at where Matt's from and then at Palestine, Texas. What it's like to grow up in a small town and be a band. It's not always footloose, you know.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So, but yeah, we're continuing on with our conversation.
So Matt, now you're here. You just basically crowdfunded the record at this point. Yeah. The label that was interested, I mean, you saw the proof in the pudding. like, do you have fans? Those fans said, yes, we want a record. We will give you the paid in advance. And then you're sitting right there saying, oh, okay, well, we have what we need. So what are you going to do for us, Mr. Label Man? And sometimes people are like, oh, we got a great marketing team and we'll do this and that. You know, I've been through the ringer. Yeah. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But circumventing and coming all the way back around, now the record's out and you put out a music video to lead out for it, for the single Wicked Woman. You guys, I would assume, used the crowdfunding money to put that out, right?
Yeah.
You're going on tour. You're probably using some of that money to place ads and help support yourself through the ecosystem that a label might put money behind. And you're seeing every dollar that comes in from your master side and your publishing side, I would assume, is all coming right to you guys. And why the fuck do you need a label next time around unless they're going to come to you and say, okay, we see what you raised and we'll triple it.
Yeah. You know? So something like that, or, you know, opportunity wise, you know, you never know what kind of doors they can open for you. Like you said, it can work out and it might not work out, but
exactly. You have an agent, right? I'm assuming you're not also booking your own tours.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
How's that going? How'd they find you all the way out there?
So we originally had, a manager that reached out to us, via Facebook, and, he helped us book our first tour and we did our first radio single. Basically our first tour was trading radio stations airtime for We'll Come to Your Town and put on a free show for everybody.
Know the game.
And, so that was our first tour in 2017. And, things didn't work out with that manager. We got our current manager now. And he hooked us up with Sound Talent, Tim and Eric over at Sound Talent. Great, great people over there. And they've been booking us ever since. So
Tim was my agent too for a while, and he's an incredible human being. And he really does move mountains for his bands. I was going to ask, so manager knew the team, said, hey, check out this band. And they were like, yep. Okay. Gotcha. I didn't know
we're on board. Yeah. They didn't, it was a manager brought the team around. So yeah.
Hey, just to go back real quick, because we have a ship rocker, Dave wants to know, how did you guys begin again? Could you just retell the story for us, Matt?
Yeah. So I just graduated college and I was working in a coffee shop in Palestine, Texas. And the owner, basically I would book acoustic acts in the coffee shop. And then if I couldn't find anybody for that night, then I would play myself. And so
you didn't find a lot of bands.
Yeah. There were nights, there was a lot of nights where I didn't find anybody because that was way more fun than making coffee and sandwiches and stuff. So, I met our drummer through some mutual friends. Nathan Gillis is his name. And then we ended up running into each other at a party one night, or a concert, actually. It was a Cody Johnson concert. It was country, at a country venue near our house. And we were both really hammered, as those things go. And I was like, hey, man, I'm playing at the coffee shop tomorrow. You should come check it out. And he was like, all right. And luckily, he was drunk enough to agree to that and not drunk enough to forget, you know. So he showed up the next day.
He followed through. Good for him.
Yeah, he followed through. He showed up the next day. He watched me play and invited me back to his house. And he had a drum kit set up in the living room. And he just like went off on it. And he's a super talented drummer. Don't tell him I said that, anybody.
No.
But
we were actually going to go the other way and tell him how bad he was.
Yeah. He'd probably prefer that anyway. But
or Carter.
Yeah, we sat on his balcony that night and just talked about starting a band, and it's kind of just snowballed from there.
And then somebody called somebody the next day and they're like, hey man, do you want to jam? So I assume you play guitar too, right? You know?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I called a buddy of mine from high school that was in a bunch of metal bands and stuff when we were growing up, and I knew he could kind of shred a little bit. I was like, hey man, you want to come jam?
Come ruin our jam?
Yeah. And then, we literally played a couple of gigs where it was just me and Nathan, the drummer. So it was just me playing guitar and him with a kick, snare, hi-hat. And it was a weird thing there. But, the owner of the coffee shop would let us basically close up at night and then just play in the coffee shop. So we ended up, yeah. So we ended up jamming in there like every night after.
That's the deal. Yeah. That's the score.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah. I got a quick question just out of my own humor here, since we're asking questions. Did Nathan ever do open mic night as a drummer? And the drummer only, just like playing covers of like Third Eye Blind songs on the drums.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know that drum beat. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Dude, I just thought about like, he can only really do that one Deftones beat where it's like, be like, ah, yeah. I know that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, anyways,
we have a question. Might as well start a little question earlier. This is from Kay Gaffney. She wants to know, what's the strangest thing you know way too much about?
Strangest thing I know way too much about.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Tuna fish sandwiches from the coffee shop.
Yeah. from Subway. Yeah. Yeah. They're not real tuna, apparently. No, I'm just kidding. The yoga mat bread. I learned the other day that, not the other day, but a little while back, that we'll never reach light speed travel with our current propulsion systems, because if you reach light speed, the amount of fire that's coming out the back of the rocket would weigh down the rocket too much for it to reach light speed. So that's kind of cool.
Well, I didn't know that.
He's basically saying, the flame would become too big, and it has such a mass that it would weigh down the rocket and it wouldn't be able to reach light speed.
Well, in order to like something, move something faster like than the speed of light,
there we go. Like, yeah,
the expulsion of the gases would actually weigh too much to actually push it forward, so it would just drop.
Right, sounds like one big aeronautical fart.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
Yeah,
and anyway. I didn't know that, and now that's what my night's going to be. YouTube, here I come.
Here's something more band related, and this is from Catherine Rodriguez. Hello, Catherine. How have the challenges you've encountered in your band's journey shaped the band you are today?
It's definitely made us. Growing pains, like just guys realizing that like the tour life's not for them, or like wanting to quit and do something else when we're starting out, stuff like that. Just having.
Please. I didn't want to.
Oh, I was just saying having to figure out, you know, hey, do we keep going right now, or find somebody to keep, you know, to join this crazy thing? Because especially when you're first starting out, you're asking somebody to kind of like give up, to sacrifice a lot for something that they're not a part of already. So it's kind of a weird proposition. You know, because it's not like you could pay somebody, hey, we'll pay you thousands of dollars to come step in for us or whatever. But
let me ask you, when you have band members that start out and then they realize road's not for me, what's their number one, what's the epiphany they have that says that, because they're basically living off next to nothing, or they're get tired of eating tamales from like a shop in the middle of the road? I mean, what's the challenge for them?
I think one of the original guitar player, I think the thing for him was that he really wanted to travel and see all these places that we were going, but he wanted to do it in a way where he could enjoy the places that we were going to, you know, like stay for a while, you know what I mean? And which you don't really get to, you just get a little snapshot of these places that you go to.
You're not getting a residency in Williamsburg? Come on, man.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Branson, dude, for going to Branson.
That's right. Yeah, actually, you could have a residency in Branson. That's the scary part.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're in severe need of talent. Yeah,
it was that kind of thing. Or like our first bass player just wanted to go back to school and start a family. You know, he just kind of was like, this is not for me.
Yeah. Y'all can have fun sniffing each other's farts. I'm going to go make some real money.
Exactly.
You know, in a lot of ways, that's good to get them out early, and no offense to get them out early, but just saying you can bring in people now that you can actually grow with and that have the same vision to you guys and stick it through, because then obviously trust in a band is just as important as gas in the tank getting you down the road. Oh, yeah. So Yeah, big time. Hey, there's some great questions. I'm going to continue on because I like these questions. They're fun, and they really do explain what's going on with the band. Have you had any favorite surprises by your fans? Has your fan gifted you anything or done anything or said anything or anything like that?
We have been gifted a lot of cool stuff.
That was my Amy, by the way. I'm sorry, Amy. What's the coolest thing you've been gifted?
We had a guy that mounted a cow, a longhorn skull on this board, and he like routed out in like the shield that goes behind it, you know, the little the wall hanger, he routed out each one of our like pictures, and it was really detailed and like crazy, man. It was,
oh my that, god, like,
this dude, this motherfucker carved your face out, dude.
Yeah, it carved our like our whole
how
like,
very Ed Gein.
Yeah.
I mean, it's super cool, but second to that, cool, you super fucking creepy. Time that's gonna take, and somebody's you gotta be staring at your face so fucking hard, brother.
I know every nuance. What let me ask you though, obviously it came down to the cockfight at the end of it. Who got it? Whose house is it sitting at?
It's sitting in
the band rehearsal room
in right now. Yeah, it's sitting in the band rehearsal room.
Very
right
democratic. Now. All right, very
good. Broke down and it was cold out, so we had to use something for
we needed kindling. Whose ever face doesn't burn the most gets to keep it. That's how we're going to settle this. And anyway, hey, Regina wants to know, if you had to create a dream tour, let's be realistic, don't bring up the deceased. I mean, I guess they could if it's a dream tour. Who would be on the bill with you?
The dream tour? Man, I'd love to go out with Candlebox. That'd be pretty cool. I've always...
So that's
always
a realistic... That's not even a dream. That's basically two agents calling going, yeah, let's do 10 dates. That'd be within reach.
Shinedown. I've always been a big Shinedown fan. Their early records when I was in high school and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what really got me into like modern hard rock. You know,
something very reachable because those guys are always taking out new bands and bands that have been, you know, they're somewhat new and they're fit their audience. You guys kind of fit their audience.
Yeah. We're putting it out there in the universe, man. Yeah.
Well, that's right. And someone's going to hear this and go, who are we taking out in the spring? I don't know. I have this band out of Palestine, Texas, man. We can try them.
I was trying to make a dream tour come up, and I was just like, wow, this has got to fucking happen. What's his name? Get his number. We're calling him.
Yeah. Make it happen, man.
So you got Candlebox, Blacktop dream Mojo, tour. Shinedown, anybody else?
Yeah. Who would be cool, man? I don't know. We'll go way out there for this one. This is, I've always been a huge Eagles fan. Next time the Eagles are touring, that would be real That's sick, cool. You know what I'm saying?
Especially I know you love him. Do you really want to deal with Don Henley for a tour? Do you really want that pain?
I feel like it would be worth it, man.
Okay, all right.
So would you say that's a whole tour? Eagles, he's supported by Shinedown, and then then you guys, and then Candlebox and you guys, or whatever that is. That's the tour. I'll pay.
That's the tour. Yeah. I didn't know those were all one tour. I was thinking separate tours, but yeah, I like it as a package. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, definitely like it as a package.
Well, let's get to that. Hey, let's get to the portion where we talk about Shipwrecked. Obviously you guys are coming back with us, thankfully. And we were stoked. You guys were like, hey, you know, we sent out these surveys and you guys are like the second most requested band to come back after a band I won't mention that's not joining us this time who are quite sizable. So when you guys getting second, it was like, that was an obviously no brainer for us because we want to make everyone happy. And you guys have, you know, been there for us and you guys provided some wonderful memories. Where's Regina's question? Oh, it's Samantha. Sorry. Samantha wants to know, what will you do differently on this Shipwrecked that you didn't do the last time you were on?
Songs from this record, songs from the new record. No, I'm being a smart ass. What would we do different? I don't know. Cause we normally wouldn't figure out our set until, you know, closer to Shipwrecked time. So it'll be a surprise.
Personal stuff? Like what does Matt want to do on this cruise? Okay. Like, damn it, man. I know what the cruise is about. I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I got to catch way more shows this time. I spent way too much time drinking the last time, I feel like. And getting
you
into
can
the,
do both of those. It's an amazing thing. You can walk and chew bubble gum there. You can drink and watch bands. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard.
Yeah. Come on. Not everybody's you, Justin.
I just, you know, you lose track of time when you're, you know, drinking in the casino.
It's true. It's like, no, I'll write that shit on my hand. So yeah. I'll be like, I'm going to take a drink. Oh, shit, 9:15. What time is it?
What time is it now?
Matt left that little bit out about being stuck in the casino because he got stuck at the craps table.
I did get stuck at the craps table last
next
time.
Next time, we're going to go.
Hey,
I'm gonna go
never leave the table on a heater, dude.
Yep.
Never leave the table on a heater.
Or never leave the table if you have to shit. Just shit.
Right there.
They get a bucket person. Just exactly. Shit.
I'm sorry, I'll clean that up.
Yeah.
Don't
worry.
I'm rolling hard.
Don't touch it.
I've rolled 20 hard eights in a row. Don't touch it.
You like shit. Sorry. I just have this little vision in my head where like you roll the dice at the same time, explosive diarrhea comes out. And it, you know, you just fucking you win. It's the all I don't even know how craps is gets good, but all of the money.
Hey,
and
Chad,
it's like
Chad.
Now you're lucky shit.
All right. Okay.
Now you have to do it every time.
This conversation just let the Shine Down tour go, so we fucked them on that one. So, all right.
Sorry,
like, we can't have these guys on board. The fuck is on board with us? Come on now.
Anyway. Justin, can I ask him a Shiprock question? Like, for real?
No, ask him, like, I hope you would.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we're moving on, but if we didn't.
No, I want to stay on this topic. Other than okay. The other thing, yeah.
Other than the poops. Okay, got it. So
yeah, we're done.
Your first ship year was what, 2018? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Have you been on a ship before? Just have you played a have you been on a cruise ship, I should say, before this?
That was my first time.
Like ever.
That was
okay.
My first time on. Yeah.
So then just think about it. It doesn't really have to be three sentences, but can you give me in a three sentence recap your personal experience walking up on the ship for the first time?
Like a three sentence recap. So we walked on,
you know, just something short and sweet. So you can just, you know, like,
yeah, we walked on and the first group of people that we encountered were like, hey, you're the guys from Blacktop Mojo. Let me buy you a drink. And that happened over and over again for five straight days. And, we get to play on the beach with Wilson, with you guys.
That was awesome.
Freaking awesome.
You got to play on the beach. I got to press beep. I got to press buttons.
Oh yeah. 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 The PA got destroyed or whatever the night before. That was wild.
You're like,
dude.
I got a good voice, so we'll just do these acoustic songs. And I'm like, I don't. So I'm just going to play some 90s heaters.
You killed it though, man. That was a great party. Thanks. Everybody had a good time, man. But
so then
we did that.
Chad,
and then
real quick, Chad, what was in the dropper you guys were hanging out? What was in that dropper?
Saline and
saline
and Pooey's like literal tears because he has like overactive like tear ducts or whatever that I could pull. So I like put the bottle underneath it and gathered a few of them and then put saline water in there.
Very good. These are Pooey's tears.
If anybody's mad at me, they were that. Blame him. He wanted to put them in there. I wanted to ask you then. So here's your three. There was your three sentences walking on. Now, and you drank your ass off. You had a good time. Now, give me three sentences about how your experience of walking off the ship.
Walking off the ship. I need sleep. This is probably the first sentence. I need a beer. Hair of the dog. You know. And then I can't wait to do that again.
Oof.
That's big.
Heaters.
Yeah. Okay. Three sentences. Wrapped it up.
You did it. You did it. Proper and everything. Thanks, man. That was good.
No.
We're going to do Walk the Plank.
Oh, okay.
And Matt, you're obviously pretty familiar. Are you familiar with the Walk the Plank thing?
I'm not.
Okay, basically, we just ask you some random questions, rando questions. That's a fucking street, rando. you just give us your best answer. And whatever, man, just pull it out. Be honest, be truthful, be organic.
Okay.
The kids are saying, yeah.
Yeah.
So
be an avocado.
Right.
So let's do a looks a before free range age. Avocado. Chad, you're up first, buddy.
Looks before age. Okay. What's been the most spiritual experience of your entire life?
Oh, man. Probably we won a contest to open up for Bon Jovi one time and got to step onto a stage in front of 20,000 people. It was like sold out. And I had like an out of body experience when we did that. I was kind of how people describe themselves. Like I was literally just watching myself play. And then we stepped off and I was like, it's over? What happened? You know,
yeah. Kind of,
but yeah, that was pretty nuts.
Did you get to see John backstage? Was he aerobicizing?
Yeah. He was not aerobicizing when we met him, but he was drinking a throat coat tea. So he was drinking or something, some kind of tea.
He was drinking a tea, like a tea,
like a hot tea, like a
warm proper tea,
British gentleman. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a hibiscus tea.
Yeah. Yeah.
a British gentleman from New Jersey. That's a new hybrid.
There you go.
No,
that was my question.
He was really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. It would have been really, I thought you were going to go somewhere and be like, and we opened up for Bon Jovi and we closed our set with It's My Life.
Yeah. and then they tried to murder us on the way out.
That's right. You should have broken into a medley.
They put us in the trunk of a car and
beat me senselessly. Yeah.
You're wearing a t-shirt that says Sambora shot first.
Yeah.
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 There we go. Anyway, hey, this is actually more of a question for Chad. Matt, we'll get to you in a second. Chad, Samantha wants to know, she asked me, but I'm asking Chad because Chad's probably have a little bit more insight. Do we have any clues of who's going to be on the beach playing this year?
Do we? I don't have any clues.
But not a clue. I have a clue.
I'm going to go ahead and say, if it's warm. Okay, here's my clue. If it's warm when you sit, did you take a piss? That's a riddle. And that should give you an answer.
Nice.
All right. You guys work on that bit of Shakespearean.
That was beautiful, man. Did you write
wordplay that he just.
I did. I did.
That's incredible.
Thank you. All right.
If you were to have a conversation with a deceased relative, who would it be and what would the conversation be about?
I had a great granddad that used to play drums in a band back with all his brothers back in the 40s and 50s and stuff. I would probably ask him how things have changed, you know, or like if he likes our music, I guess. I don't know.
Hey, what are we doing here? What are we doing wrong? What are we doing right?
Yeah.
What's style of music? What did he play? I guess big band and blues at the time?
Probably like, they played a lot of like weddings and like school functions, I think, stuff like that.
Dance
and stuff. Yeah.
Just popular favorites of the time, right?
Yeah. Dance band.
Just the kind of guys you were you kind of mirrored him because when you guys started on the honky tonks, you're playing the popular hits of the day.
A little bit.
In a lot of ways, you're mirroring Greg Gandad. That's awesome, man. Cool. So you have a musical strain in your family. So it makes a lot of sense what you're doing. Maybe it's your great granddad living vicariously through you right now.
Maybe. I hope so. I hope he's having a good time.
Yeah. Hey guys, if you've got any questions, we're going to shut this down pretty soon because Matt's given us an hour of his time and he has to get back to things there on the farm. So just to remind you guys. Okay.
Do you like the Toadies?
I love the Toadies, man.
Thank you. That's it.
Absolutely.
Chad is a massive Toadies fan, and they're from, well, they're not from your neck of the woods, but they are from up the highway.
Song. Yeah. Yes. They wrote a song called Tyler. Yeah. That's right by you, from right by you.
You know, maybe it's blasphemy, but I always love the Burden Brothers more.
What? I mean, whatever. You can love it. It's pretty much, you know, two half of the band. But
I know it. Todd is Todd. It's okay.
I know, it's so Todd of him.
Yeah. Anyway, hey guys, starting on the 24th of this month, remember Blacktop is getting back on the road, so catch them. They're going to do a long run. They're doing through November, so you definitely have a chance to catch them. Go support them, show your Shiprock colors, give the guys some love because you won't see them again until January. So, you know, enjoy some time with them. Check them out. Obviously, check out the new album featuring the song Wicked Woman. And you got anything else to add, Chad?
Because great song, great video. I'm going to mistake it. Yeah. Watch it.
Yeah, guys. Definitely check it out. If you guys remember, this whole episode drops on Monday, so you can check us out on YouTube or any of the streaming platforms. And definitely go back and check out the first half an hour that you may have missed. Because there's a lot going on. It's really good hearing about Matt's upbringing and how he got into what he's doing and how him and the band took a leap of faith to kind of break out of their small town and hit the road and do this crazy circus thing they're doing. Anyway, hey, they said they need you guys in Long Island. You guys playing Long Island on this trek?
Not on this one. I think we play in Syracuse, Buffalo, and Albany. On this one.
All right, so. Daniel, put some gas in the tank, buddy, and hit the road, man. You can catch them still in your state. Anyway, hey guys, thank you for everyone for joining us. Obviously, thanks Chad for hosting here, and obviously our guest tonight, Matt. Say hi, obviously, to the fellas in the band, and we'll see you guys in January. Hey guys, just remember that this show couldn't happen without some very important people helping make it happen, including the show producer, Alan. What is it? Al McManus? Is that the guy? Big Al?
Oh my God.
Big Al. I missed Al.
It really is.
Anyway, yeah, I miss him too. So listen, we want to thank Al for the show producer, our engineer, Jennifer Zito, our show coordinator, Heather Smith, and of course the captain, Alan Koenig. So obviously we also want to thank, as you guys have been booking your crews and getting everything in line, guys, remember we got production stuff going on next month, dude. So the cruise is starting to happen, man. That it's going to come very quickly. So we're stoked. So we want to thank, obviously you guys talked to, Kathy and Peggy love on the phone, so we want to give a big shout out to them as well, and also the guy who helms and created the Stowaway, that's Danny. So we want to thank everyone, and we want to thank you guys for giving us your Wednesday evening, especially Matt. All right, buddy, listen, best of your success, and let's stay in touch, bro.
Absolutely, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah,
thank you
for being here.
Yeah,
all right guys, everyone take care.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of the Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.